8. December 6th of that year began in the normal way, with a walk on the beach followed by breakfast. Gaines' meal for Laurie, a scrambled egg and a piece of toast for Lloyd. There was no premonition that God was cocking his 45. Lloyd watched the first hour of the Today program, then went into Marion's den. He had picked up a little accounting work from the fish house and a car dealership in Sarasota. It was low-pressure stuff, no stress involved, and although his financial needs were met, it was nice to be working again. And he discovered that he liked Marion's desk better than his own. He liked her music, too, always had. He thought Marion would be glad to know that her space was being used. Laurie sat beside his chair, chewing thoughtfully on her toy rabbit, then took a nap. At 10:30, Lloyd saved his work and pushed back from the computer. "Snack time, girl." She followed him into the kitchen and accepted a rawhide chew stick. Lloyd had milk and a couple of cookies that had come in an early gift package from Beth. They were burned on the bottom. Burnt Christmas cookies were another of Beth's specialties, but edible. He read for a while. He was working his way through John Sanford's hefty oeuvre and was eventually roused by a familiar jingling. It was Laurie by the front door. Her leash was looped over the knob, and she was brushing the steel clip back and forth with her snout. Lloyd looked at his watch and saw it was 11:45. "Okay, right." He snapped on her leash, grabbed his left front pocket to make sure he had his wallet, and let Laurie lead him out into the bright light of midday. As they walked down to 6 Mile Path, he saw that Don was putting out his usual collection of horrible plastic decorations. A nativity scene, sacred, a large plastic Santa, profane, and a collection of lawn gnomes tarted up to look like elves. At least, Lloyd thought that was the idea. Soon Don would risk his life by climbing a ladder and stringing lights that flashed on and off, making the pitcher bungalow look like the world's smallest riverboat casino. In previous years, Don's decorations had made Lloyd feel sad, but on this day he laughed. You had to give the son of a bitch credit. He had arthritis, bad eyes, and a bad back, but he wasn't giving up. For Don, it was Christmas or bust. Evelyn came out on the pitcher's back deck. She was wearing a misbuttoned pink wrapper, there was some kind of whitish-yellow cream smeared on her cheeks, and her hair was every which way. Don had confided to Lloyd that his wife had begun to lose the plot a little bit, and today she certainly looked it. "Have you seen him?" she called. Laurie looked up and gave her trademark greeting. "Yark, yark!" "Who, Don?" "No, John Wayne!" "Of course, Don. Who else?" "I haven't," Lloyd said. "Well, if you do, tell him to stop farting around and finish the damn decorations. The lights are dangling and the wise men are still out in the garage. That man is loopy." "If he is, that makes two of you," Lloyd thought. "I'll pass it along if I see him." Evelyn leaned over the rail, alarmingly far.
"That's a good-looking dog you've got there. What's his name again?"
"Laurie," Lloyd told her, as he had many times before.
"Oh, a bitch, a bitch, a bitch,"
Evelyn cried in a kind of Shakespearean fervor and then uttered a cackle.
"I'll be glad when goddamn Christmas is over. You can tell him that, too."
She straightened up, a relief. Lloyd did not think he could have caught her if she'd fallen, and went back inside. Laurie got to her feet and trotted down to the boardwalk, pointing her snout toward the smells of fried food wafting from the fish house. Lloyd turned with her, looking forward to a piece of broiled salmon on a bed of rice. The fried stuff had begun to disagree with him. The canal meandered. 6 Mile Path meandered with it, lazily turning this way and that, hugging the overgrown bank. Here and there a board was missing. Laurie paused to watch a pelican dive and come up with a fish wriggling in its satchel beak. Then they went on. She stopped at a spray of sawgrass poking up between two boards that had warped apart. Lloyd lifted her over it by the belly. She was getting too big for the football carry now. A little way further down, just ahead of the next curve, palmetto had grown over the boardwalk, forming a low arch. Laurie was small enough to walk under, but she paused, sniffing at something. Lloyd caught up with her and bent to see what she had found. It was Don Pitcher's cane, and although it was made of stout mahogany, a crack ran halfway up its length from the rubber tip. Lloyd picked it up and examined three or four drops of blood dotting the wood. "This isn't good. I think we better go back." But Laurie bolted ahead, jerking the leash out of his hand. She disappeared under the green arch, the handle of the leash clattering and spinning behind her. Then the barking began, not just her usual double yark, but a volley of deeper sounds he would have said she was incapable of making. Alarmed, Lloyd ducked through the palmetto, waving the cane this way and that to push bunches of it aside. The branches whipped back, scratching at his cheeks and forehead. On some of them were beads and smears of blood. There was more blood on the boards. On the other side, Laurie stood with her front legs spread, her back bowed, and her muzzle touching the boards. She was barking at an alligator. It was dull green and smudged black, a full-grown adult at least 10 feet long. It stared at Lloyd's barking dog with its lusterless eyes. It was splayed atop Don Pitcher's body, its blunt shovel nose resting on Don's sunburned neck, its short, scaly forepaws possessively cupping Don's bony shoulders. It was the first alligator Lloyd had seen since a trip to Jungle Gardens in Sarasota with Marion, and that had been years ago. The top of Don's head was pretty much gone. Lloyd could see splintered bone through what remained of his neighbor's hair. An ooze of blood, still wet, lay drying on his cheek. There were oatmeal-y strands in it. Lloyd realized he was looking at Don Pitcher's brain. That Don had been thinking with that very stuff, perhaps only minutes ago, seemed to render the whole world meaningless. The handle of Laurie's leash had dropped over the side of the boardwalk and into the canal. She continued to bark. The alligator regarded her, for a moment not moving. It looked remarkably stupid. "Laurie, shut up! Shut the fuck up!" He thought of Evelyn Pitcher standing on her back deck like an actress on the apron of a stage crying, "Oh, a bitch, a bitch, a bitch!" Laurie stopped barking, but continued to growl deep down in her throat. She seemed to have grown to twice her size because her cloudy dark gray fur was standing out, not just on the scruff of her neck, but all over her body. Lloyd dropped to one knee, never taking his eyes off the gator, and plunged his left hand into the canal, feeling for the leash. He found the cord, yanked the handle up, clutched it, and got back to his feet, never taking his eyes from the green-black thing resting on Don's body. He tugged the leash. At first, it was like pulling on a post stuck in the ground. Laurie was that braced, but then she turned toward him. When she did, the gator raised its tail and brought it down, a flat thwack that sprayed up droplets of water and made the boardwalk tremble. Laurie cringed and jumped onto Lloyd's sneakers. He bent and picked her up, never taking his eyes off the gator. Laurie's body was thrumming, as if an electrical current were passing through it. Her eyes were wide enough to show the whites all around. Lloyd had been too stunned by the sight of the alligator astride his dead neighbor's body to be afraid, and when feeling did return, it wasn't fear, but a kind of protective rage. He unclipped the leash from Laurie's collar and dropped it. "Go home. Do you hear me? Go home. I'll be right behind you." He bent down, still not taking his eyes from the alligator, which never took its eyes from him. He had carried Laurie like a football many times when she was smaller. Now he hiked her like one, through his legs and directly into the palmetto arch. There was no time to see if she was going. The alligator came for him. It moved with amazing and totally unexpected speed, kicking Don's body several feet behind it with its stubby rear legs as it pushed off. Its mouth opened, exposing teeth like a dirty picket fence. On its leathery, pinkish-black tongue, Lloyd could see bits of Don's shirt. He struck at it with the cane, bringing it around in a sideways sweep. It whacked the side of the gator's head below one of those weirdly expressionless eyes and broke along the crack in the mahogany. The broken piece twirled away and splashed into the canal. The gator stopped for a moment, as if surprised, then came on. Lloyd could hear the clitter of its claws. Its mouth yawned, its lower jaw skidding along the boardwalk and raising gray splinters. Lloyd thought of nothing. Some deeper part of him took over. He stabbed out with what remained of Don's cane, plunging the jagged end into the whitish flesh at the side of the alligator's shovel head. Grasping the cane's handle with both hands, he leaned forward, putting his weight into it and pushing as hard as he could. The alligator was momentarily driven sideways. Before it could recover, there came a rapid series of cracking sounds like blanks from a track starter's pistol. Part of the old boardwalk slumped, spilling the gator's top half into the canal. Its tail came down, whacking the twisted boards and making Don's body jump. The water boiled. Lloyd struggled for balance and stepped back just as the gator's head surfaced, the jaws snapping. He stabbed at it again, not aiming, but the jagged stub of the cane went into the gator's eye. It reared backward, and if Lloyd hadn't let go of the cane's curved handle, he would have been pulled into the water on top of it. He turned and bolted through the palmetto with his arms outstretched in front of him, expecting at any moment to be bitten from behind or thrust upward as the gator swam under the boardwalk, planted itself on the mucky bottom, and battered its way after him. He came out on the other side, daubed and dotted with Don's blood and bleeding from a dozen scratches. Lori had not gone home. She was standing 10 feet down, and when she saw Lloyd, she raced toward him, bunched her hindquarters, and leaped. Lloyd caught her, like a football, like a Hail Mary pass, and ran, hardly aware that Lori was wriggling in his arms and whining and covering his face with frantic licks, although he would remember this later. Once he was off the boardwalk and on the shell path, he looked back, expecting to see the alligator hustling after them along the boardwalk with its eerie, unexpected speed. He made it halfway up the path to his house before his legs gave out and he sat down. He was crying and shaking all over. He kept looking back, watching for the gator. Lori kept licking his face, but her trembling had begun to subside. When he felt able to walk again, he carried Lori the rest of the way to his house. Twice he felt faint and had to stop. Evelyn came back onto her deck as he trudged toward his back door.
"You know, if you carry a dog around like that, it will start expecting it all the time. Did you see Don? He needs to finish putting up his christening decorations."
Did she not see the blood? Lloyd wondered. Or did she not want to see it?
"There's been an accident."
"What kind of accident? Did someone run into that goddamn drawbridge again?"
"Go inside," he said. He went inside himself without waiting to see if she did so. He got Lori a fresh bowl of water, and she lapped at it eagerly. While she did that, Lloyd called 911.